بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا والمسجد الأقصى. First, fell into the hands of what we call the ruling Israeli occupation. It was not long after the Khilafah had fallen. It was prepared, it was well thought about. They had the support of so many countries of the world. It was a mission that they worked for years, but in the ending it was something which Almighty Allah allowed. Many a thing we see in the world, we will wonder that why Allah is Allah and Allah does as He wishes. Everything plays into a greater plan. And this was also planned under the decision of Almighty Allah for Masjid al-Aqsa to fall on the day when it fell. At that time, many Arab organizations, people in the world, it was a discussion. We would have been very young at that time, perhaps not even born, some of us. It was known as Qadiyatu Palestine. The matter of Palestine, that how can we ever get Masjid al-Aqsa back? Or actually, how did we lose it in the first place? With one small land, surrounded by so many Arab countries, the same question what they ask today is, so many Arabs, so many countries of power, so many militaries, but not one has the courage to be able to stand up for the people of Gaza. At that time, the same thing was, how did we lose al-Aqsa? And one small, surrounded by so many of the Arab states, they call it the Six-Day War. In one of the conferences, a very great scholar of Islam, a man whose thought and his mind was very far, a Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, rahimullah. He was a man who perhaps never saw the battlefield physically, because in the land where he was, in India, there was not at that time the occasion where he could physically get into a battle. But in the lands where battle did take place, when we had a chance to visit Syria a while before this, what is called the toppling now of this Assad regime, we had a chance to meet with certain scholars who ran away from Damascus when Bashar al-Assad went wild. And they had to then flee, whoever did not was martyrs. It was only now women, children and the old. So in that gathering, when distributing aid with the old scholars, we asked them if they could say a few words. So then they pointed out to one elderly sheikh. He was a very great scholar in the Jamia of Damascus before the war started. He also had to flee. So he came and he said that, I remember before the war began, I used to sit with the principal of the Jamia of Imam Nawawi. That was the Jamia's name. He said that he would tell me that we learn, we teach, we are speaking about high things of knowledge. But because we are controlled by the government, he said, what we would really like to teach our children, we are unable to. Our khutbahs are monitored, our words are monitored. And then he said, I always think about how will true deen ever reach the lands of Sham. Because in the narrations it is mentioned, Damascus will be the capital of Allah's Mahdi. Now how will the Mahdi find a place here? Where we are ruled under a nation, that even our talk is watched. He says, then the war broke. When it broke, it was called Niqma. Niqma means the misfortune, the calamity. He said, we ran. Whoever did not stood back to fight against the forces so the wives and children could survive. And they were martyrs. And it was not something easy to see. Even though we went so many years after it happened, it can leave thoughts. But amazing when you will meet those people. We're breaking fast. So they had a dasturkhan laid out for us. One of these young children, he wanted to come sit with. So one of the hosts told him that, no, you go sit there, because we had given an iftar for the orphans. the orphans of martyrs. So he got a little bit close to us, so he said, Sheikh, can I sit with you? I said, yes, definitely, we want to talk to you then. So he said, now we have about 5 minutes left. So one person asked him that, do you remember your father? It wasn't the best question to ask, because immediately a tear came in his eye. He says, I remember the day when my father and my uncle went missing. He said, then we searched. And he said, I remember when they told us, in that hole you will find your father. And we went there and we saw there were bodies in there. And they're pulling out those bodies. He said, my uncle came out first, then my father. So when he came to that point, the way he said it now, everyone started crying. But he only had a tear. And then he's looking at us sad, and he said, like, why are you sad? Imagine this boy said, why are you sad? He said, Shahada. He said, Shahada. It's like an honor for my father. Shahada. That word, so many years ago I heard it. I still remember that word. I said, it's a miracle how Allah will give power to those young children. Otherwise, when we look today, we will feel the entire Gaza will one day be in a state of depression. What they have seen over the last, not 2 years, but from when? What we're going to speak about is the world of miracles. It is called spiritual miracles. Gaza is a spiritual miracle. Me and you living in our small container of luxury. We have one problem in life. And we say, I need tablets to sleep. Then you say, Sheikh, you got a taweez. And you say, is there some wazifa for me to read? Say, I got problems. You ask, what's your problem? What is the problem? And then you ask those people who day and night are hearing bombs. If you're not passing away today, by next week you're born. You're living in the thought, death is around the corner. But you wonder how they manage whenever sleep has to come, they'll sleep. And a day will come when this war, inshallah, will end. At that time, I ask every one of you, make an intention. That where normally we always send our charity. If they make an announcement, just wealth for zakat, lillah for ghazza, everyone will give. In South Africa, we started promoting that not give, you go. You take your group, and it's not difficult nowadays. But there are so many Muslim organizations who facilitate it. You take the zakat of your own family. And you take your own friends, your own clique. And you tell them, make the arrangements. You lend, you give out yourself, you see. When you see the eye, the hand that takes, you will understand we have been created for another purpose in life. As long as we stay away from the reality, we will only see scenes on the newspaper and it don't look good. Go on the ground and you will be surprised at the power of Iman. You will come to a family who got nothing, who lost everything. You will go and give them a little handout. Normally me and you will say, what am I going to do with so little? I got big problems in life. They will invite you in the house. They got no house. They'll tell you, please sit. We went to visit one. His wife and his daughters had to go in the kitchen. Not like our kitchen. The kitchen is so small that for them all to fit in with the door closed, they all had to stand. So we went, he's showing us his house. And then he says, please stay for iftar. Iftar was still going to be out 4 hours from now. Number one, I'm wondering if there's any food in that house. But the second, it means my wife and my daughters will remain standing like that for the next 5 hours. Just so that my guests can eat in the house. Because you can see their shadow. They're standing there looking the other way. There's no house. But still, if they please you, my guests, there were about 15 of us. What he was going to feed us. Then we go outside. And the smile that they give, it's like, What letter we gave you, I don't think will help you for the next 1 month. But the smile you will give, like you helped me for my life. The miracles of Iman and Islam. But you'll only see it and feel it when you go on the ground. People who have visited Masjid al-Aqsa once, they will say, we grew up with such a feeling that every year we want to go. There's a pull. With all the problems at the borders, there's a pull. In the lands which saw war, visit it, and you will see yourself visiting again and again. They say, Ni'mal amiru ala babil faqir. What a wonderful rich person, the one who goes to the door of the poor person. Why so wonderful? Sometimes more than he helps the poor helps him. We come out of a dream. Come out of a dream. There's a real world carrying on. But you'll have to go look for that real world. May Allah make it. When this war comes to an end, every one of us who have heard this, you make an intention now already. You get your group. Our little wealth for them is lot wealth. But more than the wealth, they get so happy when they just see somebody is worried about them from another part of the world. I remember on one distribution site, we normally would stand at the back because it was only women, there's no men that time in Syria. So it was only women who were coming to collect the parcels. So you have those people who are giving out and we're standing. So one young boy comes to me. And then he says, from where are you people? So I say, we're from South Africa. He said, why have you come? So as I said, that we just came to like meet you. It makes us so happy to see you. So this boy, he gives such a sentence. But as though he's speaking on behalf of his parents who are not there. Meaning I would have wanted my father to thank you, but I got no father. So he says, on behalf of the people of Syria, on behalf of the people of Syria, we the children of Syria, thank you South Africans. But the way he said it in Arabic, for that small boy, that maturity, that I got no father to talk on my behalf. I will thank on behalf of my family, on behalf of the people of Syria. We the people of Syria, thank you people of South Africa. But you have to hear it to understand that feeling. You have to hear it. One day, inshallah, all of us go. On that day, Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nabdui al-Sheikh, he delivered a lecture. Why I mentioned about Syria? So when that scholar came, he said, we thought it was a niqmah, a problem. He said, we ran. He said, then when we came to the free zone, now it's not, now it's open, the whole Syria. But that time it was the free zone, safe zone. He said, when we came to the safe zone, wherever we settled, we opened up our own madrasa. So he says, where we once had one jamia in Damascus, and we were unable to speak the truth of Islam, because our every word was watched. He said, one jamia now has broken up into about 50 jamia. I opened one, my friend opened one, the apa opened one, another apa, there were more animals, apas there than there were men. So two or three buses brought them from the different places. The women were on one side, the men, but the men were much fewer, the women were much more. Because most of the men were martyrs. He said, what we looked at a few years ago as niqma, major calamity, he says, today I count it as ni'mah, a gift of Allah. He said, we never dreamed we will one day have the freedom to teach our children what is the spirit of jihad fi sabilillah. He said, we never. Say, my Ustad always said, where will the Mahdi find an army in Damascus? He said, I see the creation of the army after that war. His words remind me today when people ask what's happening in Gaza. In Gaza we are seeing the creation of the Muslim army in the world. Not only in Gaza. This battle that has taken place in the last 2 years has made the hearts of non-Muslims around the world soft to Islam. And it has made many Muslims wake up to reality. Many. You can't miss. It said, to water the gardens of Islam, it was always the blood of the martyrs. To water the gardens of Islam, it was always the blood of the martyrs. So much of blood fell in the last 2 years. When people ask me normally, Gaza, what can we do for Gaza? My one answer is, let their blood not go wasted. Which means what? It's meant to wake up the Muslims of the world and to invite the non-Muslims to Islam. But if I myself don't wake up, then it means I wasted their blood. It is valuable blood. It wakes up the world. If I don't wake up with this blood, then it means I'm really fast. So at that time he delivered a lecture, Qadiyatu Falastin. He said, how did Al-Aqsa fall? So he spoke, so the sheikh said, when we lived in Syria under the Bashar regime, he said, we never knew what is called fighting for Islam. He said, we used to read the books of Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi from the land of India. But as far as he had written those books was, he said, we would distribute his books to the houses. My ustad would say to us, read the books of this man, because when I open the pages, I get the smell of jihad fi sabilillah. Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi. So that's now whose advice I'm going to be giving. So at that time when Al-Aqsa fell, he was also invited to one of the conferences. Why did we lose Al-Aqsa? What? Where we made a mistake? He said, he was a master in history, Islamic history. The crux of his lecture on that day was, he says, I used to always look at Islam, and I used to wonder, when will the Muslim power collapse? He says, you people are shocked today, Aqsa has gone into the hands of evil people. He said, I used to be shocked, Aqsa is still not in the hands of evil people. I knew it had to happen one day. He said, why? He said, you see, sometimes an aeroplane, high in the sky, we see it, Qantas Air. Because you see it flying so high, sometimes you start feeling that the aeroplane is meant to remain in the sky. And the reality of the aeroplane, which is the fuel that pushes this up, and all that work that has to take place before it goes up, me and you as passengers, we are oblivious to that. We just know an aeroplane is meant to be in the sky. The only time we get scared is when we're in the sky and it starts shaking, or when we hear there was another plane crash. When the plane crashes, then we all get scared. That's when the aeroplane goes up, you read your du'as, that Allah let mine not crash today. Otherwise, when we're in that aeroplane, we don't ever realize that the aeroplane only stays up because of the work that happens before. The main part of that work is the fuel. If there's fuel in that jet, it will stay high, although you don't see it. He said, take away that fuel. Let the pilot become oblivious to that indicator. And an aeroplane that stood in the sky, moved in the sky so well, you will see it coming down very fast. Forget coming down, he says, you will see it crash. He says, Allah made it that the plane of Islam never crashed. It landed with a bang. He said, for years, I would think that the very fuel that pushed Islam in the sky, the Ummah has lost that fuel. So then he explained, what is that fuel? He said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he came to a nation who found pleasure in bearing their daughters. But when he left the world, he created a nation that was able to teach humanity to the entire world. What did he give them? One ingredient that changed their entire mind. He said that ingredient is what made the plane of Islam go up. When that ingredient was taken away, the plane of Islam crashed. It came down with a bang. The ingredient I'm going to mention to you, by Allah's kindness, we have seen it now coming. In the land of Syria, you will see it. In the land of Gaza, you will see it. You will see it spreading in the land of Al-Aqsa. Day by day, it spreads. And Allah makes it spread when the time comes for the plane to go back in the sky. Why am I mentioning it to me and you? When the rest of the world is going to get this ingredient, it cannot happen. It must not happen that me and you, because we're sitting far away from what is called the depot where the ingredient is given. When the world sees the plane of Islam go high, on that day me and you mustn't be looking for the ingredient. We must already start getting it now. What was this ingredient? He said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak to his companions about paradise. He spoke so much to them about Jannah, life after death. And that's what we're going to discuss in this first few verses. So much he spoke to them of life after death. And then he taught them the verses, and I will teach you one verse. And you memorize this verse, you read it, you think about it. We walk on a path which they walked on, and maybe we will reach a result which they reached. He said he described the world after death so much. What happens in the barzakh, the world of the grave? What happens on the day of Qiyamah? What happens when some will be under the shade of Allah's throne? What happens when crossing the sirat? What happens at the scales? How he discussed it, how he discussed it, how he discussed life in the grave. No Christian and Jew. Meet a Christian. Speak to a Jew. Tell him, do you know about life after death? He knows a lot. Tell him, do you know life after death immediately, not after the day of judgment? He knows very little. The amount of details the Muslim Ummah were given on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps because me and you never heard it. We never read it. So forget our small child. When he sees someone burying their uncle, he also thinks that if I die, they're going to put me in sand. After sand, he had no mother and father to tell him that the body is going there, the soul is already gone. Where's the soul gone to? It had to be described, it was described. Young children at that time, they would come, a woman comes, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her son was martyred in the battle. She's supposed to be thrilled with martyrdom, but she was sad. Why? Because a stray arrow hit him. Stray arrow. It wasn't clear whether a Muslim killed him or a non-Muslim. He went to fetch water, the arrow hit him. So he passed away, but not on the battlefield. So she was sad. She said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you just tell me where is my son. Where is my son? If you tell me he's in paradise, then I'm too happy. And if you say no, because a stray arrow hit him, then I will beg and cry to Allah until Allah is pleased with my son. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are you asking? You're asking for him, forget one garden. He says, Jannah. Jannah is gardens and gardens. And your son has found himself in the highest of all gardens. That was all they wanted. Small child will come running. Where is my father? In Jannah. Gone home. Mommy, Jannah. They never saw the sand of the grave. For them it was death and the body is gone somewhere. Why? It was described so well to them, so well. How we describe to our children, Goldilocks. I don't know if you all know what Goldilocks, Red Riding Hood, the Three Bears, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. We described it so well to our children, cartoons, Superman, that you see sometimes that child, his father will give him Superman pyjama, and he really will think, if I jump in the sky, I'll fly. So he jumps off the sofa and on that, poof, then you'll say, what a cartoon did to his mind. What he knows is fake. He was shown it so many times, he started thinking it's real. What he knows is fake. Have you ever seen people in the world of movies? Allah save us all, Allah take us all out. We're living in a lie. It's a lie. You will see a person watching that movie, that series, whatever it is. Someone in that movie will die. Someone in that movie will die. And you will see the man watching it will start crying. You ask him why he's crying, he says he died. She died. Say it's not real, he says doesn't matter, still I must cry. That person is somewhere else in the world, living or dead already long time. Living or dead. But a movie can create such a reality. Such a reality. One scholar one day said, when movies started in the world, this was too long ago, too long. At that time movies had haya, now there's no modesty at all in it. At that time it had modesty, no one would let their children watch with them something with immodesty. How far in a few years we came. Now a father, mother and child will watch the same immodest thing. Same immodest thing. And everyone will just be normal. At that time when there was still modesty. So one movie came out at that time, so the people of the past would know of it. So they speaking about it. So said in that modest, that was the first immodest movie they heard. So what happened is, that the one person or that woman is on the other side of the train line. And now she starts taking out her top cloth, like undressing. And then as she starts taking it out, the train starts coming. So just when she starts changing, the train passes by. And by the time the train gone, she now has taken out that clothing and put on some of proper clothing. She changed. So they say, this is a joke maybe, maybe it's true, who knows. So they say that same movie now, they saw one man coming to watch it again. Then third time someone asked him, but you saw that movie already. He said, I'm thinking maybe one time the train will be little late. That's how the world is. Because we all know it's a lie. But you'll tell a person who watched something, it'll play on his mind. Play on his mind. Ask yourself about sports. How it plays on our mind. Why are we captured in a system that what is real we know nothing about? And what is fake really affects us. My team, are they winning? I'm reading my salah. I say, Allah, let him not go out. He only got another 50 to make. Allah, let him not go out. He wins today, he'll celebrate, he'll drink. Tomorrow he'll lose. Game will carry on. One player will come, one player will go. You'll ask, was there any reality in it? In the end of the day, say, no reality. Wherever there is reality, but because we're so far away from reality. So far. He said, Allah's Nabi painted reality to them. He painted life after death so well, so well, so well. Until every child, when he will look, it was as if he was seeing Jannah in front of him. Then his words he wrote, then as though every Sahabi would put his hand, trying to get the fruit of paradise. Then he would say, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is stopping me from getting Jannah? Says, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, there is only one bridge between man and paradise. What that bridge? He would say, is the bridge of death. Death. He says, what the... He made the thing which the world regards to be the most bitter. Yet, for his companions, he made it the sweetest ingredient in their life. Yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day spoke about a time will come where my ummah will be like on a cloth. And the world will be eating from my ummah. And they asked, where will the people be on that day? Will they be few? He said, no, there will be many. Many. The ummah is many. He says, but they will be captured with a weakness. He said, what is that weakness? He said, the death-like of death. The death-like of death. We all heard of COVID. When it came, everyone said, do I have COVID? Because if I get COVID, it means I'm going to die. Today, me and you will ask ourselves, what is my death-like for death? Is it a natural aversion which is overlooked? Natural aversion, you see death, you pull back. And then there is something called a spiritual and a mental. Mentally am I averse to death? Because Allah takes us to task for our minds, not for a natural pull. Am I mentally unhappy to meet Allah? That is called karahiya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if man doesn't want to meet Allah, meaning mentally, then he must know Allah does not want to meet him also. Because why don't I want to go to my Allah? Why don't? The man will say, I'm bad, so become good then. But you can't run away from death. He says, the day Allah will bless the ummah again with that desire of Jannah, and they will see the path to reach there is only one, I have to die. And when death again becomes to them sweet, no longer bitter, his words at that time he wrote, the plane of Islam will start going back into the sky. In the world when you will visit these lands, you will find a nation who no longer is interested in building the world. They are really, really bothered of building their Jannah. And if death has to come, you will see in their houses they will distribute sweets. They will say, Shahada reached our house. Martyrdom reached our house. Me and you are very far from that. So these verses which were read, I will only explain the beginning, then somewhere in the middle, to explain what's happening at the moment in the world, and then the ending. But it is something to try to memorize. Quran is to learn, to understand, is to gain a picture. This verses, Allah Ta'ala explains what happens at the time of death. Quran normally speaks about the worst and the best. In between groups is what we call. Quran does not discuss them. You must decide either be the best, make sure you're not the worst. As for in between, in Quran there's never a discussion for in between. The in between is how Allah will then deal with them. You might see the fire, you might not see, Allah might forgive. The believers are discussed, meaning the best of the believers. Allah make us all of them. Amen. And when disbelievers are discussed, Allah discusses the worst of the disbelievers. So in today's time, everyone wants to know, where is justice? Because certain people in a certain land who are bombing everyone, a time will come where even if the courts of the world say we have to hold you accountable, we all know how it works. One, two soldiers will come and they will have to believe guilty. You say we put you in jail for 100 years, 50 years, and after 5 days they'll come out. As for the president or the king at that time, then that person will die or he'll disappear. And you'll wonder, so much of zulam, so much of oppression. Where's justice? The surah starts, two groups. You either good or you bad. Allah make us that when we hear this description, we must make an intention that I need to be good. And I have to have the thought of death and life after death like how Allah has described it. Because the one who doesn't believe in life after death, he behaves like how zalims, oppressors behave today. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. The wow means by the oath of. The surah takes an oath on certain things. It says, picture this here and you'll understand the surah. The surah is saying, if you know Jannah and life after, meaning life after and Jannah, Jahannam. If you know it, you will not behave like a Firaun. But if you forget about it, you will be Firaun. We all know Firaun. When we speak about the oppressors of Israel, sometimes we forget me and you are also oppressors sometimes. We oppress in our circles. A father oppresses his children. The child oppresses the parents. Bosses oppress workers. Wife oppresses husband, husband oppresses wife. There's a lot of oppression. Sometimes we are our own firauns. Because we feel also Allah will never take us to task. Quran was to say, no one is safe and there's hope for everyone. No one is safe, there's hope for everyone. But listen to this five. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. By the oath of angels, naza'a means to snatch. Gharq, ighraq means with severity. This is an angel snatching the soul of one who is bad. Listen to the Arabic. They say there is something called eloquence. If the word is hard, you must understand how hard the action is going to be. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ ذَا is hard, عَيْنِ is hard, غَيْنِ is hard, قَوْفِ is hard. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى, that is, by the oath of those angels who will one day snatch the soul of those who Allah is angry with. That is the day of justice. When the soul will say, I don't want to die. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى, but we can't run away from death. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, then you listen to this one. Sheen. طَى. وَالنَّاش, that nash is like it slides out. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, by the oath of those angels. You have a bag. In it you want that musk to just come out. But it is tight. You just need someone to open it. A small hole appears and you just see musk coming out. Nasht is when that small cut is made and suddenly the blood gushes out. It says by the oath of those angels, when they will just make a slight opening and a soul who wants to meet its Allah will come pushing itself out. Allah give us a death like that. Nasht, my soul just wants to come, it just wants to come. A friend saw his friend who got shot, martyred. They were together, and then in front of him, his friend dies. When you see a friend dying in front of you, it's not easy. It hurt him the whole day, the thought. At night he has a dream, he sees his friend in the dream. He said, what happened? The friend says, I also don't know. I was sitting with you and I decided to just look up. I lifted my head and a bullet hit. He said, I felt a prick, a sting. And the next thing I knew, I saw my soul in the hands of angels in the sky. What he meant is, the pain of death I never felt at all. I never knew I'm gone. I never knew. When we see what's happening in the world, when you hear of it, you must remember this too. Both have to die. The one bombing has to also go. And the one being bombed has gone. But the one being bombed, nash, the angel just open and musk comes out. And the one bombing, do you think he owned that? But when the time of death comes, when that angel comes to snatch, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّازِعَاتِ نَشْطَى. Thereafter, in the hands of angels, two groups. Allah make us of the good group. Allah save us from the evil. Angels are now, picture this, وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى. سَبْحَى means to swim. You sometimes swim and you see the man. And sometimes you swim gliding through the waters. That angel got the soul of Allah's beloved. That angel got the soul of the one who Allah hates. And now the angels are swimming to the decision of Allah. وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى, by the angel, oath of those angels who are now taking the souls. You must picture it. Because we don't know in whose hand is our soul going to be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes it further. He says, the angel who has taken the soul of Allah's beloved, it's like musk. They even put it in a silken cloth. As they are moving through the skies, swimming through the skies, the other angels start getting that smell. They say, what a beautiful soul, what's his name? They will speak to these angels, they say, blessed is the person who carries the smell. As for the one whose soul came out and Allah dislikes, it takes out a smell. They bring a rag of Jannah, rough. It takes out the smell. The angels pick it up. They say, what is the stench? What is the stench? And they will say, so and so died. And the angels turn their face away. They say, if that's the smell, then we don't know. Meaning only misfortune is going to find him in the stages coming above. As for the angel carrying that soul of good, they are swimming to the decision of Allah. The decision is made. My servant has been truthful. Now put him in his comfort zone. We call it barzakh. Some people think it's the place where we bury the person. It is called barzakh, another world. By Allah, there are many worlds. It is not Jannah, it's the Marah of Jannah. Every martyr who saw the last 2 years in Gaza, and every martyr who saw from the beginning of Islam, every martyr sees themselves in Jannah before Jannah. Barzakh is a Jannah. Barzakh is a Jannah. My servant has been truthful. Allah make us all truthful. Amen. The announcement is made for him, a bed from Jannah, a window towards Jannah, the breeze of Jannah. Let him rest. Does he rest till the ending? No. Some people think in the grave we sleep till Qiyamah. The world of the grave is not to sleep only. You wake up. You meet with those who have passed away before. There is discussions, there is talks. Then there is excursions going into paradise. Nabi Sallallahu described it so well. His companions saw it. When they would be burying their brothers, their sons, their daughters, they would be saying, Allah, Rawdatum min Riyadil Jannah. Let it be a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Let it not be a pit from the pits of hell. They knew where the person was going. They would say, it is in Jannah, I am happy. Because me and you forgot this picture. So we think it's sand. It's not sand. As for the other angels, Allah Tabarakallah's announcement is, the soul has not been faithful. And then the angels understand Allah is angry. And the entire creation of angels become angry. Nabi Muhammad says, when the earth speaks, that's where you bury. Even the earth says, from the people walking on me, I hated you the most. And now that you are being buried in me, I'll show you how I treat you. What a world. A world of justice starts with death. وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَا. By the oath of the angels who are moving. فَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْقَا. By the oath of the angels where one is trying to beat the other. I must rush with this soul. I must rush with that soul. They are racing. Racing for what? To get the decision of Allah. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى. So that they can then put in motion what Allah has commanded. To start preparing. فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ. Allah's beloved, a bed of Jannah, I'm bringing it. Silk of Jannah, I'm bringing. Clothes of Jannah, I'm bringing. Where the angels come running to the believer in that world. Now what can I do for you? Now can we take you? Can we show you your paradise? Now what can we bring? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when they will perch under the arsh of Almighty Allah, the throne, in the belly of birds, the people who passed away, they will look at their dwellings of Jannah. They will become happy. The birds will drink from the waters of Jannah. They will eat from the fruits of Jannah. The soul will get the enjoyment. What a world is coming. These that have gone have already entered the world. And as for those who die in the anger of Allah, stage one is so terrible. Imagine the stages after. Then Allah Ta'ala says, you think it's finished? يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّاجِفَ. The day the trumpet will be blown, and the second will be blown. قُلُوبُ يَوْمَ إِذِ الْوَاجِفَ. Hearts on that day will be trembling. أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ. Eyes will be filled with fear. That's stage two. Standing by Allah on the day of the day. A truthful will stand. Allah will say, who are you? I gave my time for you, O Allah. I gave my life for you. A martyr will come with his blood. It will be fresh. Me and you. May Allah give us all death with martyrdom. Amen. Something to bring on that day. On that day, man will have to say, what did I bring? Not who am I? What did I bring? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it will be you and Allah on that day. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. There will be no one to even interpret. And he will look on his right and he will not see except what he sent. He will look at his left, he will not see what he sent. He will look in front and he will see nothing but the fire of Jannah. He said, فَتَّقُ النَّارِ. While you got the chance, fear that fire. وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Even if you have to just take a date and give it to someone, that date also will help you to douse those flames a little. We have to have that. Stage 2, it's coming. These are the two parties. One will be the best, one will be the worst. Problem is, the worst always is blessed with strength in this world and wealth. And as for the good, Allah made this world an exam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of mankind. But in Makkah Mukarrama, how alone he was. How weak he was, monetarily, with an army, someone just to help the family of Yasir. When the war of Gaza started, one man wrote a khutbah, he said, Sabran ya ala Yasir, Sabran. O family of Yasir, Sabran. He says, these were the words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Yasir. You heard of Ammar bin Yasir, this was Yasir, the husband of Sumayya. First martyr of Islam, Nabi Rasul would pass by Yasir, and they would be hitting him. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi could not stop them because Yasir never have a family. When Ghazza war started, the man wrote the khutbah, Sotaran ya ala Yasir. The second sentence Nabi Rasul said, O family of Yasir, sabr. O family of Yasir, sabr. And then he said, and tomorrow me and you will meet at the pond. We will meet at the house. So in the khutbah he wrote, Sabran ya ala Yasir. Then he wrote, Sabran ya ala Gaza. That the whole world will look at what's happening. No one will be able to help you. Sabran, Sabran. Tomorrow you will meet the Rasul of Allah at the pond. That words is what has given them hope. Those words. But we also want to meet at the pond. We also. Evil has always been with strength. Goodness has never gathered strength. Allah's system. Otherwise there's no exam. The surah then carries on. Hal ataka hadithu Musa. That do you not know the incident of Nabi Musa? It was he alone. He was his brother. Two against the state of Fir'aun. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. He was going from Madian. He told his father-in-law, I need to visit my mother. I ran away once from the states of the Fir'aun. I ran away. I got protection here. I don't want to ever go back there. But my mother loves me. So many years later, do you think I can go into Egypt? And they won't pick me up. It's easy. So many years, where they recognize you. As Musa alayhi salam reaches Madian, Allah Tabarakallah's first talk takes place. First talk. In the first meeting with Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam enjoys speech with Allah, and then he's told what? You have to go back to the land you ran away from. But he was going. But he was going to meet his mother quietly, quietly. You will go straight to the court of the Pharaoh. Musa alayhi salam says, Allah, years ago I killed someone. They got records definitely. If I have to enter in that court, so weak, one person. He said, you will go and you are under our eyes. You will go. You will go and you are under our eyes. Musa alayhi salam, me and you all know the incident. How much Fir'aun would have wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam in the years that he had the opportunity until Fir'aun drowned. But for some reason, Fir'aun was never able to kill Musa. How much the Quraysh wished they could kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 13 years of Makkah Mukarrama. Then making the hijrah, now we need to kill him. They couldn't. Reaching Medina Munawwara, now we must kill him. They couldn't. How Fir'aun wanted to kill. And Allah Tabarakala said, under our eye it will happen. Islam grew under the eye of Almighty Allah. The Quraysh tried to destroy it. They tried in Makkah Mukarrama, they tried in Medina Munawwara. Under the eye of Allah, how Musa alayhi salam's Jamaat only grew. And Fir'aun finally was destroyed. Under the eye of Allah, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He grew up in Mecca. He lived in Medina. He saw his Islam under the eye of that Allah. Islam continued thriving for 1,400 plus years. During every stage, there were groups of people who wanted to destroy Islam. There were the Crusades, there were the Tatars, the Mongols. How many worlds fell? Then there was the collapse of the Khilafah. Then there was the collapse of the entire world. Then there was the Soviet Union. Before that, there was the British Empire. Then there was the United States and the War of Terror. How many wars took place? The target of the war was Islam must come to an end. But what me and you are seeing in the world, as Firaun could not kill Musa, and the Quraysh could not kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabarakallah made Islam under his eyes. And wherever it went, the people around Firaun started accepting Islam of Musa. Firaun's own wife understood the truth. Around the Quraysh, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tabbat yada is revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. The people around Abu Lahab are reading a surah which got the curses of Abu Lahab. Historians will write that the day will come where the children of Abu Lahab, accepting Islam, will continue reading the surah, cursing their fathers. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab, they would read it. Abu Lahab destroyed. You his children. You said, what father we had? Allah save us. Musa alayhi salam, on him, Asiya accepted Islam, Firaun's wife. The people of the Quraysh, whose fathers died in the opposition of Islam, they all accepted Islam. Some of them were the one who chewed the liver of Hamza radiallahu anh. She had to read the kalima. Her husband had to read the kalima. The son is the young scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fathers, the grandfathers opposed Islam. The grandchildren lifted up the flag of Islam. As it happened in the past, then came the Mongols, the Turks, we call them the Tatars. They came on a force on Islam from Mongolia one side, from the lands of the Tatars on the other. They fell on Islam, totally destroying Islam. Allah looked at Islam. They accepted Islam. They accepted. They became flag bearers of Islam. We will see by Allah's kindness when this war will end. Already so many of the soldiers who have committed or their parents committed barbaric acts, they also are questioning themselves, am I on the truth? A time might come where you will meet a man and he will say, I was the one shooting that. And then something came in my heart. Some of them will even see the face of the one they killed in their dream, telling them, what did you get out of it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah smiles at two people entering paradise. One pulling the other, they ask who? He said, the killer and the one he kills. They said, this is amazing. The killer and the one he kills. Who's pulling who? He says, as a disbeliever, he killed a believer. The believer became a martyr. Allah then blessed him with iman. He accepted iman and he died later on. On dying, he meets the person who he killed. That person comes to say, I haven't come for revenge. I am so happy you believed in the Allah I believe. Let's go in Jannah together. The killer and the one killed. These miracles only happen in Islam. Allah's gaze fell on Musa alayhi salam. Hal ataka hadith Musa. When Allah called him, now he had to go. Idhab ila Fir'aun. Go to Fir'aun. He is rebellious. But go and give him a message. Hal laka ila anta zakka. O Fir'aun, is it not time that you change? Me and you are the Musa of the era. And Allah has looked at us. And we also were given a responsibility. That you don't have to go to the mighty Fir'aun. Go to anyone else of the Fir'auns. You will go. I will end on this. And then we'll finish the last three verses. When the Tatars and the Mongolians accepted Islam. Historians at that time wrote, what made them accept Islam? So as da'is of a big level, people who gave da'wah, they only write about two or three names. They say it seems people on a low level were giving da'wah. Low level how? So there was a prince, Mongolian prince. Now he's thinking of accepting Islam. He had made a promise years ago to one sheikh that if I ever become in charge, I'll think of Islam. Before that sheikh passed away, he told his son, the day you see that prince in charge, you go and tell him, he promised me he'll consider Islam, go tell him. So he does become in charge. The son comes to him, he says, my father sent a message. He said, who's your father? He said, you met him on a certain journey. He gets shocked. He said, I must remind you of your promise, you'll consider Islam. So he says, go away from here. Then he called his minister. He says to his minister, you know this thing called Islam? That's what they were killing so many years. He says, you know this faith called Islam? What do you think about it? The minister is quiet. Then he says, I've been considering accepting Islam. The minister says, Master, I already believe in this faith for the last couple of years. He says, what? He said, go from here. He calls another minister, same story. Calls another minister. Quietly, da'wat was given to the ones on the ground. It reached levels we could never imagine. At the moment with the war in Gaza, a da'wah has been given to the non-Muslims of the world. Whether they sit in parliament, only they can't lose their job. Some of them are ready to lose their jobs. As they're sitting, they got a conscience. The blood of martyrs opens up the doors of Hidayah. Blood of martyrs. But me and you also got a job. We have to go to Firauns. We have to go to people who we feel are not nice. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى And to say, would you not also want to become pure? And do you think what's happening in the world is clean? And to explain, I'm going to die, you're going to die. There's only two groups. The angel is either going to snatch our soul, or our soul is happily going to go out. Me and you must not become like them. Me and you have to make them like us. We got a job. Musa al-Islam was going to visit his mother. Allah Ta'ala stopped him. You will go in the same place, but you got a mission. Me and you got a mission. We will go to our business with a mission. We'll go to the shops with a mission. We will travel other countries for a mission. Everyone else goes for holiday, but I'll go for holiday on a mission. Everyone else goes to buy tomatoes and potatoes. I will go with a mission. Why? Because everyone, when they see a Muslim, their inside is asking a question, what is Islam? They see more what's happening and it troubles them more than it's troubling us. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى There will be those, you'll give them the da'wah and they'll accept. And there will be those, وَأَهَدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ I will show you the way to your Rabb. فَتَخْشَىٰ Then you can also fear your Allah like how I fear. We can worship Him together. We can sing His praises together. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ Musa alayhi salam then showed Firaun. He showed Firaun major signs. Me and you got a mission. We got this. This Quran is the mightiest of the miracles of Almighty Allah. This Quran has to be shown to the non-Muslims of the world. But first me and you need to see this Quran. We became blind to it. So forget Firaun being blind, we became blind. When the Musa doesn't know his miracle, where will the Firaun ever see it? Allah make us a true Musa. We will show the Firaun of the world this Quran. We will give them a copy of the Quran. This is only a copy. This is a translation. It's not even the real. My friend, read this. And you will tell me tomorrow you have never read something like this. Then I will tell you when the translation is so amazing, imagine the real. But if me and you don't know the real, if me and you don't know, the man says, that thing tastes fantastic. You ask him, you ever tasted it? He say, no. You say, you never ate it. How you know it so well? It's quiet. Me and you will have to start reading Quran. Start understanding Quran. If you can't get 30 juz of Quran, get one surah of Quran. Understand that surah, enjoy the surah. Read وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا and feel the angels pulling someone's soul. Then read وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا and feel that soul saying, I want to come, I want to come. You naturally make dua, Allah, let me be of the right group. Then invite the person. Say, you have to read this, my friend. I'm going to die, you're going to die. Some will accept, some will be Fir'aun. Some will say, فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى Fir'aun was not ready. He disobeyed Allah. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَّرَ فَنَادَى He turned his back. He made his efforts. Then he made an announcement. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى That there is no one like me. I am the mighty. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى Allah grabbed him and made him an example for the world. Allah grabbed him. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى Indeed, in so much, there is more than enough advice for the one who fears meeting. Look at this end. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً Ibra means advice. لِمَنْ يَخْشَى I will ask Mawlana to read this first 5 verses. Again, listening to it, you must get the taste. You will read it 3 times. It is only 5. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا You only have to get the zzz and you can feel the pull of the angel. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْط And you must feel that soul going out. Then سَابِحَاتِ You will see the angel swimming to Allah to find out what to do. سَابِقَاتِ سَبَقْ One racing with the other to find out. And when Allah says, My servant! And the angels, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا Let's sort out the matter. And on the other side, Allah save us all. Says, this is not my servant. And the angels know what to do with him also. Allah Ta'ala bless me and you. With the love of Quran, with the understanding of Quran, the ability to read, the ability to understand, the ability to appreciate and practice, and the ability to introduce the world to this Quran. We're all scared to run for the angels.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا
Second time he reads it. Now you won't pay so much attention to the words. I want you to picture that movement of the angels.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا
Third time you will read it. After the mind hears something, then is the time for the heart to listen. Heart is the king. When the king hears loudly, the king makes decisions. May Allah Ta'ala let our heart make a decision. So now our heart will start listening and let the heart accept. And may lives change.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا